Know what?
Know what?
Milnut has a brand new label and a new low price.
Milnut?
Milnut.
Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. And now here with music on records is Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Joe Foss. And once again, after what I hope was a very pleasant weekend for you, 48 hours of rest and relaxation, we're back in the grind, and I presume that maybe you are too. So let's salute a very swell product known as Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum, and let's salute also today a singing product with the Mercury Record Company, one of our favorite boy singers, young man who has come a long way since the advent of his beginning of his career just a couple of years ago. His name is Nick Noble, who comes forward this day with another fine Mercury platter that we're going to expose for the first time on the full CBS network. The name of the tune, Fallen Star. You'll meet Nick and also hear the story behind the song right after we listen to a good newie by Peggy Lee called Baby, Baby, Wait For Me.
I was a gypsy. I said I had fidgety feet. When I hear that whistle blowing on the train, then my heart starts to beat. Baby, baby, wait for me. Baby, baby, wait for me. Baby, baby, wait for me. I'll be home by and by. Well, I told you I was a gambler. When I hear the roll of the dice, then I just gotta put a couple pennies in the pot and roll them once or twice. Baby, baby, wait for me. Baby, baby, wait for me. Baby, baby, wait for me. I'll be home by and by. Well, I told you I was a lover and I had the rolling sty. But if I cheat just a little bit, I'll be home by and by. Baby, baby, wait for me.
Lee, with her first return to her parent label of a few years ago when she was one of America's top singing kicks, Peggy is back with Capitol again, and this is a fine new rock and roller called Baby, Baby, Wait For Me. Sort of a modified rock and roll with an afterbeat and the drum, but a very swell piece of music, only runs a couple of minutes, and it's that type of music that you wish would go on and become an LP because it's just over before it begins. Now, the flavor of Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum lasts longer. Remember years ago the Wrigley folks used that as their slogan, the flavor lasts longer in Wrigley Spearmint? Well, so it is today, and so it will be always, because the product that goes into the making of Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum is always so good. And that's why Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum is good for you. You see, it keeps your teeth clean and attractive and your breath always sweet. Aids digestion, and I know that you like it. So, whatever your plans are for this day, whether it's return to the grind of the busy workaday world, or whether it's the housework or the laundry work, whatever it might be, I hope that you'll keep relaxed and refreshed always with Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum, a product the flavor always lasts. But you ask for it by that name, if you will, please, and if it's convenient, get a couple of packs today for your entire family to enjoy. But remember the name, Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Now let's introduce this young boy singer that we have been associated with in radio, records, television, personal appearances for quite some time. And I'm always amazed at the tremendous strides that Nick Noble has made from his beginning just 2 years ago to today, where he is one of America's most polished young vocalists. Nick, it's always delightful to have you back on our Wrigley Show and to have you bring us your records because they're always good records. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Howard, and thanks for having me.
A lot of exciting things are happening. You're working one of our local bright spots here in the Chicagoland area, just back and from Canada. Weren't you up there working for
That's
a while?
That's right, Howard. Mm-hmm.
Is there a big difference between Canadian clubs, Canadian theaters, and our ones on this side of the border?
No, I don't think so too much. Actually, most of the records up in Canada are the records who are which hit here. I think they're about 30 days behind us as far as their hit parade goes and what's current up there.
Uh-huh. Nick, you get an opportunity as a itinerant singer and a boy who was on the road a great share of the time to judge audiences around the country. Have you felt that there is any change in attitudes of trends in music that exist now as compared to, say, a year ago?
Well, I think the adults have come around where they like beat just as much as kids. This
where,
I've found.
Where they like a pronounced beat in the music.
That's right, definitely. And even a rock and roll beat.
Well, does this mean then that this is the last remaining vestige of rock and roll as we used to know it when rock and roll first came out?
Gee, I don't know, Howard. I know that even a year ago, I used to find more and more requests coming up for ballads. Still ballads. The nightclub goers were still more or less holding on to the pretty ballads of, say, 5 or 6 years ago or even 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now suddenly I get notes backstage for real current things like Butterfly and even Hound Dog.
Now this is the adult group as much as the teenage group.
That's right.
How do you account for this? Is it because it's rubbed off on them, the kids bring home records and the parents have been indoctrinated now in this new field of music, this new type of music, Nick?
I think that's probably it. And also, of course, they hear so much of it on the air. I mean, they listen to the radio just as much as teenagers do.
Well, what about the possibility of big ballads coming back? As you know, just before we went on the air, Murray Baker, who is one of the most prominent men I know identified with the music field, he and Irwin Barge were in here. We were talking about the possibility of big ballads coming back. Is there that opportunity, do you think, Nick, where the old-type songs, the pretty songs of 5 years ago will be currently popular again?
Gee, I don't know, Howard. I hope so. As you said, you thought ballads had a better chance today of breaking through, but that the arrangements would have to probably be a little different, a little more exciting than they were, say, 3 or 4 years ago. Probably a little more bottom to them and a little more movement, even though they would be ballads.
Yes. Well, will that pronounced beat, will that heavy beat destroy the lyric of a song? Isn't it hard to follow the storyline of a song if you put too strong a beat in there, Nick?
Particularly if it is a lyric, because very often you want to drop a beat or pick up a beat depending on the phrase or even the sound of the word that you're singing, and it's kind of difficult if you've got some drummer laying on the afterbeat and
with a rim shot
on the back of your neck, you know.
There's no doubt that it makes it pretty tough on the vocalist. What about your instruction in singing, Nick? You have come up through the ranks of singers, starting as a nobody like we all have to. And you have achieved tremendous importance, not only in the Mercury label, but as a show personality. Where did all this begin for you? Did you take formal training in music?
Well, actually, Howard, I played piano for a couple of years. I studied piano all the time. I went to high school and started singing as a double, more or less, jobbing on the weekends. You know, when I was about 16 or 17 years old,
uh-huh.
I'd get up and sing once in a while. But I had one problem. I used to get shaky at the knees, as you know. I think the first TV show I ever did was with you,
mm-hmm.
and you had to not only hold the idiot card for me, but hold me up, too, at the same time. I always find as long as I was sitting down at that piano, but when I stood up, the old knees used to shake. That was my biggest problem, learning to relax.
Well, I think that this is not unique to your case, Nick. I think that all people, when they first start, and regardless of what their job is in life, I presume that the average young housewife who might be listening, or the average student, the first time they did the laundry for the family, the first time they enrolled in a new course in school, or the first time a lawyer tries a case, nerves are a matter that I think they're an important element to the business because it's what keeps you sharp and alert and on your toes. What about today? Are you still a little bit nervous before the overture sounds and before you walk out from the wings?
I'm still edgy, but in about the last 6 months, Howard, I'm starting to have a good time on the floor. I mean, I enjoy performing now, where before it was a real job.
So now it makes it a better performer, more casual.
I hope so.
Nick, what does the future hold for you as a singer? Is a record always the required element for any singer like yourself?
It is today. I used to talk to people when I first got in the business, talk to agents and so on. They used to say, look, kid, if you get a great enough act, record or no record, you'll work the biggest rooms in the country. Well, they're for the baloney because it's not true, because the first thing a club owner says, or a television booker or a director or producer, what's his latest record and where is it on the charts?
In other words, that has taken over as the number one facet of show business, of the element to make for a good box office.
Absolutely.
This is a hardship, though, isn't it, on a performer? Because let's presume that you're one of the great performers of our time, and I'm not going to flatter you to that extent yet, because you're too young. But let's supposing that you were, without a hit, you would go unseen and unheard, wouldn't you, through the ranks generally of show business.
I think today this is true. It's different for the performers who have had four or five hits and have gone into all the big rooms and replay them on the merit of their act and show, like a Tony Bennett, for example.
Yes.
But for the new kids coming up, it's practically impossible, particularly as a boy singer, Howard. I mean, a girl has a chance. They figure, well, if they have a comedian headlining, a male comedian, a girl looks good on the floor and she's pretty, and if she sings a pretty good song, well, let's put her on the show. It's a good balance. But if you're a boy singer, there's really no need for you on the show unless you draw people. This is the way they think.
And the record is what draws people. Surprisingly enough, though, a lot of people will say, well, now records are a teenage commodity, and it's the kids that buy records. Now, why should this then concern itself with you if you're going into a room like the Cope or the Shea or the Sands out in Vegas or any of these other prominent spots? These are not frequented by teenagers. So why is a record important then at that level?
Well, I think it's important because maybe the adult will not go out and plunk down 98 cents for a pop record, but I think they're aware of it, and I think they enjoy hearing it on the air. An example is, like, I think this new record of mine has only been out, like, say, 4 or 5 or 6 days. Last night at the club, I must have had, and this is no exaggeration, at least 25 notes on the first show asking to hear it.
Ask you to sing this song. This is a fine song, Nick. This is country and western music, isn't it?
Originally, yeah.
And now the Mercury people have covered it with your singing, and I think it's a swell record. In order to play all of it, I think maybe we better get right to it. Here is Nick Noble with a swell new Mercury offering to the public, a pretty song called Fallen Star. That's a pretty thing. It's a new Mercury record done by the boy who is our star today, young man, a fellow by the name of Nick Noble. Nick, as a singer, do you like this song? Did this give you a meaty lyric to get your teeth into?
Yes, Howard, I did, really sincerely. I like the song, and I think the lyric is good, and the intervals are fun to sing.
Does this mean, then, that you would be inclined towards country and western music more so than the idiom of rock and roll that we were speaking of?
I would rather sing country music. And ballads, of course, I've had a lot, you know, the Bible Tells Me So was my biggest seller, and
yeah,
that
sure.
was definitely country. I kind of...
Quasi-religious and country and western, but you had a little bit of a rock and roll beat in it.
Yeah, I kind of feel that, well, as musicians would say, cornball stuff, I think it's a lot of fun to sing.
I'll go along with that cornball. If it pops, that's good corn. Nick, thank you very much for being here, and best of luck to you on your new Mercury record, Fallen Star. Our time is all up. This is Howard Miller from Chicago. We'll be seeing you every day this week, like every week, for Wrigley Sperm and Chewing Gum. I hope that you'll want to join us. Until tomorrow, let's settle for Joe Foss, the star. Joe?
Be sure to join Howard tomorrow at this same time when his guest will be Georgia Gibbs on the CBS Radio Network.
WBBM Chicago.
WBBM FM Chicago.
Two that A&P meets are quality ride. Prepare.